Father. Father God, we do thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of them, and they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. Father God, we thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But Father God, we thank you most importantly, we'll take that word that we've heard and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and the dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this generation, revival to this nation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And thank you, Father, right now, as we go to minister today, we thank you, Father, that they won't see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. And we thank you, Father, for giving us utterance and boldness to proclaim the gospel tonight. Father God, we thank you for the anointing of God that's present tonight. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance. We thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you're doing both here and around the world. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Sorry, last week I couldn't be here with you. I had to go with my stepdaughter. Like I said, you know, here at Rhema, we're pretty honest with what's going on in our own lives. You know, she's been dealing with some kidney issues for a long time, and so we visited one of the leading kidney doctors in the United States, at the University of Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, and we're probably going to have to go back in about a month or so, and she's going to have some surgery and. You know, just let you know what's going on. So continue to pray for her. She's 19 and been dealing with kidney issues since she was around 15, and it's just been a struggle. She's been in and out of the hospitals, and she has some other issues with her bladder and a couple other things going on as well. So you know, praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. But you know, around here, obviously, we believe in faith, and that's part of our logo. You know, the faith shield, and you know, we try to teach on faith. You know, every couple months or so, and I'm just gonna. Tell you some things today that I told my stepdaughter last week as she was dealing with some issues or whatever. But, you know, it's important to remember our faith. Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My grandfather always said this way. He said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's really important to continue to hear the word of God, especially concerning faith. Because, you know, we need to have faith in order to, you know, live our daily life. So let's start in Mark chapter 11. Obviously, that's the keynote scripture for our ministry. And I like to start with verse number 22, because many people, they try to have faith in their pastor. They try to have faith in, you know, in their own faith. But we have to have faith in God. In Hebrews, in Mark 11, 22 says this. It says, and Jesus, understand this is Jesus talking. All right. Jesus answering saith unto them, I'm reading from the King James Version here, have faith in God. So our faith should always be in God. He didn't say have faith in your pastor. He didn't say have faith in brother so-and-so. He didn't even say have faith in me. He said have faith in God. And many people, you know, it's interesting, they try to have faith in their own self. Because, you know, the reason I know that is because they're like, well, I don't see how it's going to work. Well, you're not the one that's going to make it work. All right? If my faith was in myself, I can understand that because I don't know how to make that work. But my faith is in God. And if you ask anyone, you know, that believes in the Bible, remember God created the heavens and the earth. And anything that's in the earth, God created. And so, how is it hard to believe that God cannot do something? God can do what, you know, anything he wants to do. So if our faith is in God, our faith is in him. And that's why we shouldn't get worried about it, because our faith is not in ourselves. All right? Or sometimes I know my grandfather talked about many people, they would come in a healing line and they would put their faith in the preacher. Well, you know, and then there's one lady came and told my grandfather, and said, well, I came in this one healing line and I got healed, and then I got sick a couple years later and went back in their healing line and I didn't get healed, so I guess they had it and they lost it. And then I went to another minister's healing line and they didn't have it either. I've been in your healing line twice and obviously you don't have it, so I want to ask you what's going on. And My grandfather said, well, you know, your faith should not be in men. It should be in God. Have faith in God. And I think many Christians, we skip over the important part that our faith is in God. It's not even in Jesus. It's in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. And obviously, most of you that know me, that is my keynote scripture in the Bible. That and John 10:10, obviously, are the two scriptures that I am believe the most in. But if I sign your Bible, I always sign Mark 11:22 because I think it's important for us always to have faith in God. You know, and like I said, we put in our money in God we trust. I want to skip down to verse 24. This is the scripture that I really was pointing out to my stepdaughter the other day. And I'm reading it from the King James Version because I like it the way it says here in the original King James. Now, I do want to let you know that the King James Bible is not the original Bible. Some people think that that's the original Bible and they'll read the King James, but the Bible was not written. I mean, it was translated in the King James Version, but it's not the original version, all right? Verse 24, it says this, says, therefore, I say unto you, so Jesus is talking, okay? Once again, that's why it's in red letter, by the way. It says, what things soever ye desire, or you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and I'm translating myself, and you shall have them, all right? So remember, Jesus was telling us that whatever things that we desire, when we pray, that we believe that we receive them and we shall have them. So notice there is an emphasis on you. Understand? You, first of all, the big keynote thing is you have to get a desire. What do you desire? What do you want? And many times whenever I've been praying with people, and especially when in the hospital, I ask them, what do you want? And they're, you know, and sometimes they look at me, well, what do you mean what I want? Well, because some people get to a point in time, I mean, I've been there in hospital rooms where people are battling cancer and it's pretty bad off and they're tired of fighting. They're ready to go. We had one of our own, even teachers one time, she called me on the phone after I preached on a Sunday. He called me on Monday. He said, Craig, I just want to ask you. He said, you know, I'm old. And, you know, I get it. I mean, he goes, I'm tired. I'm actually ready to go to heaven. He said, but every time that I get sick and go to the hospital, then I get well, and then I'm here again. But he was struggling, you know even when he's out of the hospital, he's still struggling just walking and things like that. He goes, is it okay just to believe God to go home? You know, I said, yeah, if that's what you want to do, you know. And he wanted to go home, all right. And so he did, you know, shortly after that, because that's what his desire was. And there's many people that desire that they just ready to go. You know, my desire is to be well. And then if I'm ready to go, I guess I go. But I'm nowhere ready to go anytime, you know, soon. Okay, but the point is, so many people, they don't even have a desire. They don't even think, well, what do I really want? What do I really desire? And I like to use the word desire because desire is much more than a want. You know, I want $1 million, but I'm not standing here desiring it for it and praying for it right now because, you know, I probably don't need it. I mean, you know, I could use it. I don't know what I would use it on, but I'd figure it out, you know. But the point is, I mean, you know, if there's something you need, now understand, I know people that said, well, I can't believe for that. Well, why not? Why can't you? It says, what things soever you desire. Right. What do you desire? What do you want? And that's where it starts. Is first of all, starts, I mean, you got to know what you're praying for. You got to decide, well, what do I want? You know, and, you know, let's be specific. That's one of the reasons that I'm very strong, and my grandfather was too, but people didn't realize that. He was very strong that whenever you're sick, go to a doctor, find out what's wrong with you. Why? Because you need to know what to believe God for. Amen. To be very specific. I mean, you know, one of the stories that I like to tell a lot because it really shows sometimes how ignorant we are, especially being a guy more than ladies are a lot of times. There was a gentleman who was having what he thought were heart issues, you know, just having a lot of pain in the chest and area, and he wouldn't go to the doctor. You know, which that's pretty stupid. If you're having pain, then, you know, you need to find out what's wrong. Maybe you have high blood pressure or whatever. But he was afraid to find out that he might be really bad off. So after a little bit of time, finally his wife pretty much made him go to the doctor, and sometimes wives can do that kind of stuff, you know. Come to find out, you know, besides this, but he had been praying, believing God for his heart to be normal for a while. I was going through this for a couple of months, you know, because he'd been having heart issues. But when he went to the doctor, he found out he wasn't having heart issues. That actually, they were pains caused by his stomach. He was having an upset stomach, maybe some, you know, whatever. And because of the pain, he thought it was his heart, but it wasn't his heart. It was his stomach. So, you know, he was believing God for his heart to be healed, and his heart was fine. So he wasn't getting any relief. But he got what he believed for. You know, his heart was doing fine. His blood pressure was fine. He was just having some other issues. And he had an ulcer and had some other stomach issues that were able to take care of. And it really was no that big a deal. You know, which was a big relief for him. But, you know, the thing about it is, you need to know what to believe God for. And I believe in being specific. I mean, you know, sometimes the doctors don't know. So you just have to just... You know, even if they can't find it out or they don't understand, then you just have to be general. But I believe in being specific. This is what I need. It's just like, you know, if I have a bill that's due and I financially need a certain amount of money, I want to tell God, I need $1,000 to pay this bill. I mean, be specific, you know. And so the first thing you have to do is desire. The next thing it says that, in verse 24, what things soever you desire, when you pray, you need to pray. Now, what is a prayer? It's just asking. Now, it's interesting because a lot of ordinary Christians, for some reason or another, they think they're not good at praying. You know, it's interesting. Being a minister, whenever you're in any room, if it's time comes time to pray, they want you to pray. Even when it's your own family, I'm like, you know, every once in a while, someone else can pray. I shouldn't have to pray for the dinner every time. Or whatever, but you know, but the thing is that you need to pray. You know, I think that I always understand if it's concerning me, I pray the best for me because I know my issues. All right, you know, because you know I can pray for you, but I'm not you. And that's another thing, you need to open your mouth and you need to pray. Now, what is a prayer? Prayer is really asking God. All right, and you know, if you have a relationship with God. A prayer should be no big deal. Just like, you know, I have a relationship with my parents many times in my life, and sometimes even in my own adult life, I've had to go to my parents and say, can I borrow some money? Now, usually what I know is they're going to give me the money, I'll have to pay it back, so that's a good thing. So if it's enough money, maybe I have to pay it back. But anyway, but the fact of the matter is, I just ask them. And I know that my parents, I mean, first of all, I know they have the wherewithal, and anytime I've asked them, they've always done it for me. I've never questioned whether my dad's going to do it for me or not, because I know he will. But, you know, it's really weird. We question that our Heavenly Father will do it for us. Why would we question that? Because, you know, how much more should our Heavenly Father? So why would we question because a prayer is just an asking. People say, well, I'm not very good at praying. How good are you at asking? All you have to do is say, Father, this is what I need. Remember, Jesus said, ask the Father. Have faith in God. Dad, this is what I need. I mean, just like I've gone to my dad or my mom and said, you know, I'm really short. I got this bill and I need to borrow a couple $100. And, borrow meaning I need a couple $100. There are sometimes I don't even ask to borrow. I just say, I need a couple $100. You know, or whatever. Or, you know, my car's in the shop. I need to drive your car. Or see, I know my parents have an extra car, so I'm going to, you know, drive the extra car or whatever I had before. But, you know, the thing is that we act it like, you know, our Heavenly Father, they won't do it because, you know, or we're afraid to ask. You know, all we got to do is ask. Find out what we need and then ask. It's really simple. Just say, God, this is what I need. You say, well, yeah, but my prayers aren't really, they're not really eloquent. It doesn't say, pray eloquently. It's not in my Bible. In fact, nowhere in the Bible it talks about praying eloquently. You know, in fact, I think God would rather have your uneloquent prayer than somebody else trying to pray for you. All right, you know, it would be kind of strange if I needed money and my parents had the wherewithal, and I got Glenn and say, Glenn, would you go ask my dad if I can have $200? But why should I ask Glenn? You know, I'm closer to my parents than Glenn are. Now, when it comes to your Heavenly Father, we're all as close to Him. But, you know, Glenn doesn't need to ask for you. Well, sometimes, you know, we don't think about that, but that's almost what it does. You know, we ask somebody else to pray for us. Now, you know, as a minister, you know, what we should do, it talks about the prayer agreement, talk about, you know, two of us gathering together. I mean, many times say, hey, will you agree with me? Nothing wrong with that. No, you know, but why can't you ask? Well, I don't pray good. Who cares? It's your Heavenly Father. He knows how you talk. You know, you don't have to, you know, pray in some radio voice or whatever, or pray in some, you know, some fancy preacher voice. You just ask. And, you know, I've had many people that they prayed prayers and I'm thinking, man, I wish I could pray like them. You know, I'm not that fancy. But God didn't say, hey, if you ask me fancily, I'm more apt to do it for you. No, He says, if you just ask. And that's the point. Just ask. You know, but first of all, you have to know what you're asking. We have to desire something in order to ask it. So you first desire, then you ask. It's not that hard. But it says right here that I gotta keep out. Verse 24, it says, what things you desire when you pray, which is asking, believe that you receive them. So when you ask, you got to believe that you receive them. Because, you know, you have faith in God. Remember, once you have faith in God, just like whenever I ask my parents, I have faith in my parents. Now, obviously, I know that they have money in the bank, and I know that they can afford to do it. I know that my dad keeps hiding money in his wallet. He probably has enough money in his wallet to give me a couple hundred dollars. You know, because I know how he operates. You know, sometimes people give him what we call a Pentecostal handshake, $100 bill. He puts it in a hiding place in his wallet. And I have $100 bill in a hiding place in my wallet, too, right now, but don't ask. Anyway, sometimes my wife asks for that one every once in a while, and I'm giving away my hide money. But the thing about it is that when I ask him, I never think, well, he's not going to do it. But see, what this is saying is whenever you ask, just believe that he's going to do it, that he's actually already done it for you. You know, there are a lot of people in your own life that, let's just say that you had a big bill due and someone says, hey, I'm going to cover that. And you know that they have the wherewithal to cover that, and you know that they're good for it. Then when they say that, you know what? All of a sudden you have peace and you don't even worry about it anymore. Yeah, but they haven't gave you the money yet, but why are you not worried? Because I have faith in this person. That's why Jesus said, have faith in God. Have that same kind of faith in God that you have in that person that is going to cover your bill because they said it. Do you not take God on his credit? I mean, you know, if God says it, then that settles it. Remember, this is the same God that said, let there be light. And what happened? The light came on. This is the same God we put our faith in. The same God we put our trust in. And this is why it's easy not to worry. Now, the reason we worry is not because of God. It's because of the devil. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We all know that chapter. You know, the devil tries to put thoughts in our mind. Well, why would God do that? You're not even the best Christian. Well, but God loves me anyway. Remember, God loves the whole world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loves you. That's why he would. He has unconditional love for you. It says nothing can separate you from the love of God. So see, what happens is we're worried about asking because we don't think he loves us enough because the devil tells us that God doesn't love us enough. But who's the devil to tell us that anyway? He's a liar. So what's it really matter? Anyway, but he says, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Notice it says you shall have them when you pray, basically. We're still in our prayer. We haven't finished our prayer, but you're going to have them. But I said, well, I don't see it. How do you have something and don't see it? That's called faith. It's just like the guy that told you he's going to give you $1,000 to pay your bill. And you, even though you didn't see the money, you didn't, you know, you're like, well, I need the money in hand before I believe it. That's not faith. Faith is saying, well, they said it. I believe them at their word. I take them at their word. So I'm not worried about it. But see, most people, what happens is when they pray and they ask God, for some reason, they think God's going to say no or punish them or do something. So they don't have faith. So they don't believe it's been done. So they start to worry. They don't have peace. Why don't they have peace? Because they don't have faith in God. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. It's pretty simple. All we have to do is have faith in God. And Jesus tells us this 2,000 years ago. But so many people don't do it. Why don't they do it? Because either they don't know how to read the Bible, they don't know how to interpret the Bible, or they just simply like to worry. I don't know. I mean, there are people in the life that seem that they worry about everything. I'm kind of the opposite, and I don't worry about nothing. I get yelled at all the time. Why aren't you worried? What am I going to do? You know, my wife gets mad at me sometimes because she gets worried about stuff and I don't worry about it. But it's not my makeup. You know, I don't worry. I just believe. Only believe is what the Bible says. See, I believe what the Bible says. And, you know, that's probably more my grandfather putting that in me than anything else. He said, you know, I just believe God. You know, and if God says it, I believe it, and that settles it, then why am I going to worry? I only worry when I don't know that God's going to do it. But God always does it. He always performs his word. And so it's pretty simple. But it's more simple to say than it is to do. It's not simple not to worry. But, you know, but my trust is in God. My faith is in God. And so why should I worry? Because I found that when I worry, it just causes more issues. You realize your blood pressure goes up. You know, this might be a good one. Sometimes you don't eat, but you don't sleep, which is not good. You know, you can't even do work half the time because you can't think about things you need to do because you're too busy worrying about what you can't even control. You can't control it anyway, you know, because if you could control, I guarantee you, anything that you have the wherewithal to control, you already would do it. You already would because, you know, you... But when you can't control it, then what you need to do is trust God. You know, and I know this sounds bad, but I have found that sometimes when people get to a point and they hear the doctor and the doctor says, I can't do anything for you, and basically they get what I call a trust God or die situation, they're able to live because, you know, they had no other choice. But, you know, when it's like, well, if you don't pay your payment, you know, and you might have a late payment, you might have this, so you're still going to make it. Even if you got your house foreclosed on and had to move to an apartment, you're still going to live. And so some people don't have that same faith whenever, you know, because, or if the money doesn't come in, you can't go on a missions trip, you know, you're just going to miss out, but, you know, you're still going to live. You know, so people don't put the same attitude. But the attitude is, I believe God. You know, why should I have to live, you know, in a bad situation? God doesn't want me to do that. He wants me to trust in him. But I just don't for whatever reason. Let's turn to some more asking scriptures over in John. John, and we'll start with John 15:7. And we're going to read from the New King James Version here. John 15:7 says this, if you, once again, talking about you, the Bible talks about you a lot, all right? Not about me, talking about you. No, it's talking about me whenever, you know, if it's not about you, but anyway, you all understand. So this is Jesus talking, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So, you know, if the word of God abides in you, then you will ask what you desire. Once again, that's your desire comes along and it shall be done for you. Wow, see, if you ask what you desire, shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So it says, if you understand my word, and you know, and I abide in you, then all you do is ask what you desire, and it shall be done. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. Once again, you have to ask. It's important for you to ask. You know, and my kids' cases, not just my stepdaughter, but all my kids. I mean, they all want me to ask. And there comes a point in time, and my grandfather talked about it many times, where you grow up enough that you need to ask. I mean, my kids, I mean, they're still kids, but I mean, you know, when you're 19, you're 20, you're 22, you're 25, you're 27, or 48, you know, you need to grow up. You need to quit living in somebody else's, you know, thing, and you need to ask yourself. Just ask. Why can't you ask? If you know, if you have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, it's not hard to ask. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. What do you desire? Then John chapter 16 says it this way. John the 16th chapter, reading from the New King James, and we're going to read verse 23. I should probably come there. It says, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father," once again asking the Father, "in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So once again, he says, you know, you got to ask the Father in my name. That's why whenever we pray, we pray in the name of Jesus. In his name, ask what we will. And he says, whatever we ask, whatever you ask the Lord in my name, he'll give it to you. Then he goes on to say, he says, so far you've asked nothing in my name, but ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Now, why would you be full of joy? Because you have your answer. But Mark 11, 24 says you have your answer when you pray, if you believe. Now, you know, it's. I will tell you, it's more fun to be full of joy than to be full of sorrow and worry. All right? But really, it's your choice, you know, to be full of joy, to be full of sorrow or worry, because it's what do you believe? Do you believe God is going to answer your prayer or not? If you believe that God has already answered your prayer, then you should be full of joy and peace. If you don't, then you're full of sorrow and worry. It's your perspective. It's what you believe. What do you believe? And so I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just telling you what's true. You know, and I understand it's hard to believe something that we don't see. But, you know, you don't see Jesus. You've never seen Jesus in person. You might have seen some pictures, might have seen some movies and some people look like Jesus. You know, what would happen when we one fine day, soon and very soon, when the roll is called up yonder and we're there and find out that Jesus didn't look anything like the pictures? You know, is that going to, just really hurt your feelings by that time? No, it's not. You don't really care. But the thing about it is, when we accept him as become Lord and Savior of our life, we never saw him. We didn't see the Bible form. We didn't. You know, we might have seen movies. We might have read the Bible. We believe, but we didn't see it. That's called faith. It's the same faith that you have to receive Jesus as your Savior. It's the same faith you have to believe that God can, will, and has answered your prayer. And he's God. I mean, you know, it's just that simple. But understand that the devil will try to tell you that God's not interested in you. He's mad at you. He's, you know, and I'm, you know, some Christians are pretty weird. And, you know, here recently, we've read a lot of stuff on the internet now, is that God brought the hurricanes, because he's mad at America. But God is love. That's what the New Testament said. God is love. And so what, God loves us enough to destroy our house? That's not love. I know people's house that got destroyed from the hurricane. You think God was mad at them? No. God's not mad at anybody. You know, it's ignorance. All right? God's not mad at you. He loves you. You know, God loves you. The devil is mad at you. He's the one who's upset. He's upset at a lot of stuff. But just because your insurance company calls it an act of God doesn't mean it's an act of God. All right? But some people believe their insurance company more than they do the Bible. So, you know, that's a problem. If you're a born-again Christian and you believe your insurance company more than the Bible, you have issues. Because I guarantee you, insurance companies, they're not always there to be there in your favor. Sometimes you have to argue and complain and do whatever to get them to pay anything sometimes. You know, praise God anyhow. Amen. Let's look at some more scriptures where we ask the Lord. And these are all scriptures that I read with my stepdaughter. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read this one from the New Living Translation because I like to sometimes read from modern translations because it really points down to what we need. In Philippians 4, starting with verse 6, I like it how it says here, don't worry about anything. That's pretty clear. Okay, if you're worried about something, then that's an issue. Paul's telling the church in Philippi, hey, if you're worried, there's an issue here. Don't worry. All right? It says, don't worry about anything. Instead of worrying, here's what you need to do. Pray about everything or ask God. Just, you know, like we talk about, pray about everything. How do you pray? Well, just tell God what you need. Is that hard? I mean, how is it hard to tell God what you need? All right? And thank him for all he's done. Pretty simple. See, that's how your prayer life should be. Tell God what you need, thank him for what he's done. That's how I pray all the time. Now, sometimes, understand, don't forget to pray for the food when you pray for the food. Because sometimes people think they're going to forget that. You know, sometimes I know this is not an indication of people's prayer lives, but sometimes I wonder, this is me, all right, this isn't a God thing, this is a Craig thing. I've been in a place, you know, where we're having a meal and somebody asked to pray, and it was not me, because if it was me, it wouldn't happen like this. And somebody, you know, they pray for the missionaries, and they pray for this, and they pray, nothing wrong with not praying for whatever, but, you know, their prayer gets really, really long, and I'm thinking about, I'm kind of hungry, and I'm thinking, you know what, maybe this person never ever prays, and so they have to cover everything right now before we eat our food, because this is the only time they pray, and so I give them the benefit of the doubt that they don't pray a whole lot. Now, maybe they do, and I'm not saying that they don't, but I often wonder, you know, nothing wrong with praying for different things and different things. You know, we've had a lot of tragedy here in the America and in the Caribbean, you know, with all the hurricanes. In fact, there's fires going on in the West Coast, some you might not know about, that been tearing up some, and it didn't get really a lot of play because of the hurricanes. You know, it was kind of the cool topic at the time, not cool, in fact, you know, but there are, tragedy in the West Coast, a bunch of fires. You know, and it's okay to pray for those people, but, you know, sometimes, you know, I understand most of the time they're trying to impress. You know, that's the bad thing about being a minister and someone else praying, because they want to impress you. And then I pray for the food, and that's all I pray for is the food. Some of the people are not really that impressed, but that's okay, because the purpose of praying for the food is to pray for the food. I don't know if you ever realized that, but that's the purpose of praying for the food. There's nothing wrong with praying for other things when we're praying for the food, but, you know, the list doesn't need to go that long, okay? At some point in time, we know we need to cut it off, and you go home, get in your prayer closet, and you pray for these people that need help. Nothing wrong with praying for the people, because they do need help, you know. But you know what? They also need more than prayer. Prayers, you know, sometimes we all pray for people, but, you know, sometimes they need support. Money, you know, but also I will say this, whenever you give, you need to make sure the charity you're giving to actually helps out in a storm. And, you know, a lot of times we give money, it doesn't actually get to the people. Now, that's the thing that I really don't like. People don't actually receive. But anyway, praise God anyhow. My point is when we need something, let's pray about it. If you're worried about something, instead of being worried, let's pray. That's what Paul's trying to say. Hey, guys, if you're kind of upset and worried about something, instead of worrying about it, let's pray about it right now. Let's just stop. And, how do I do that? Well, just ask God what you want, what you need, and thank him for what he's done. You know, every time that you pray, we should also thank God for what he's done. You know, a lot of times it seems like that we as Christians don't really, I mean, it's like, we're beggars. I mean, we ask for this and ask for this, and we don't thank, because God's done a lot in your life. You know, I thank God all the time for what he's done. And sometimes I thank God, I pray sometimes not asking for anything, just thanking God for what he's done for me. you know, I don't really have anything. I mean, there might be some things that I could have, but I don't need those things right now. And I just want to thank God for everything he's done in my own life. Because, you know, because I'm fortunate. You know, I'm fortunate to live in the United States of America. That's actually very fortunate. You know, I'm fortunate to grow up in a family that understands faith and understands the way we understand, and it has, I've got a lot further along because of my family. And God has blessed me because of my family. You know, many times in the Bible, he talks about, I'm going to bless you, your children, your children's children. You know, and I understand many of my blessings are because of my grandfather and, you know, passed on down. But, you know, but also I'm blessed because I'm a doer of the word. Amen. But, you know, it's not that hard to, it says, don't worry about anything instead of worrying. See, this is your, and this is what I would, I don't know how to tell you how to do this, except for to tell you how to do it, but I don't know how to be there in your ear whenever it happens. What happens, you know, we're all human. Everyone human? If you don't think you're human, I want you to pinch yourself as hard as you can and you know, and see if you can feel that. If you can feel that, you're probably human. Or you know. The point is, we're all human, and sometimes things happen. Life happens. And sometimes when life happens, sometimes we get depressed, we get worried, we start being afraid. Anyone ever done that before? I've done it before. All right, but what happens is the next time that we just are human and life happens and we're just doing the human thing and being worried about something, all of a sudden a light bulb needs to hit us on top of the head. Not literally, you know. But something needs to hit us and say, you know what? Why worry? Paul says, don't worry. He says, instead of worrying, here's a better option. And see, but the point is, we need to get that scripture in our brain at the point we need it. And that's why I always pray that the messages that we preach whenever you're going through the situation will hit you across the head at that point in time. Or God will bring those things back to your remembrance. You know, so next time you start being human and worrying, all of a sudden, Philippians, you know, 4:6 should hit you across the head, you know, the New Living Translation version. Don't worry about anything. Well, so I'm in the wrong. I'm worried. You know, that's not from God. Worry doesn't come from God. But why worry? See, I've always wondered how people make it in life that don't know God. I mean, I would worry if I didn't know God. But why should I worry when I know the Creator? When I know God? When I know that not only do I know God, I know He loves me. I know that no matter what I've done, nothing can separate me from the love of God. And I know if God loves me, He's going to take care of me. So I know that what I can do is I can ask Him and He's going to do it for me because He loves me, because I'm His favorite person. But you are too, okay? You know, we all have favoritism with God. So instead of worrying, Paul is telling the church at Philippians here, the Philippian church, saying instead of worrying, pray about everything, tell God what you need, and thank Him for all He has done. Then after that point, it says you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, see, the reason that we can have peace is because we know that God has it. He has things under control. If you understand that God, the creator of the universe, the one that turned the lights on to begin with, the one that created everything, including things under the sea that you never see without a submarine or going scuba diving or whatever. I mean, you know, He created all kinds of stuff that you'll never, ever see. Maybe you go to SeaWorld or aquarium, maybe you might see those things. But the point is that God loves you and He can still create. He can still help. And, I always say, you know what? God's got this. I don't have this. You know, sometimes I feel like my life has been out of control, but it's not. I'm not in control. God's in control anyhow. My faith is in God. In God, I trust. So I just simply believe in Him. And when I do, I can have peace. And I'm so glad I can have that peace. But if I'm not having that peace, then there's an issue with me, not with God. There's an issue with what I'm thinking, what I'm believing, because I just asked God. The thing that what Paul is telling the church in Philippi, when you ask God, you should have peace come on you because you know God's got this for you. But that was simply what I was also saying that Jesus was talking about in Mark 11:24. That when we ask, God's got it. God's already done it for you. We can have peace. Now, what kind of peace we have that says the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that we don't even understand how we can have peace because most people in this situation wouldn't have peace. But thank God you're not like most people. And, you know, that's why I can have peace when other people don't. But, you know, and this isn't one of my notes, but I want to continue to read. It says, let's go back and read this whole thing. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. It goes on to say this. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. You know, sometimes that we get peace, but we get out of peace by what we think on. You know, and sometimes if we get peace over a situation, then somebody walks into the door that we kind of had an argument with later, and then we get out of peace. Then everything just goes snowballs. You know what? Just walk in peace. I try to walk in peace with people, try to walk with people. You know, I don't worry about stuff because I just believe God. I trust in God. And, you know, like I said, we're all human. We all go through times where we, you know, for whatever reason, we let worry overtake us. But when we do, we need to remember what God's word says. All right, one more thing I do want to read here. Once again, these are scriptures that I read to my stepdaughter over in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting with verse 2, it says this, New King James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It doesn't say it's going to be joy. It says act like it is. All right. Actually, the New Living says it this way. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Consider it an opportunity. So go back to the New King James. Skipping down to verse 5. And it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. It will be given to him. You know, sometimes we need wisdom in a situation. But when I read that scripture right here, if any of you lack wisdom, ask. You know, I started thinking about, well, if God will give us whatever we ask for, you can put anything there. Not just wisdom he'll give you, but he will give you wisdom. I think James wanted to point to sometimes people think, oh, I don't know what to do. You know, and so God will lead you on what to do in your situation, just like many times, you know, when you're facing, talking about with doctors and different things, and you have different choices of things that they can do, you have to have wisdom on what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Get peace on that. But sometimes, you know, sometimes we think, God only wants to give you wisdom. No, he wants to give you whatever you need. If any of you lack anything, just ask. Whatever it might be. If any of you lack money, ask. If any of you, you know, lack healing, ask. I mean, so whatever it is, but it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, it will be given unto him. Verse number 6, but let him or her ask in faith with no doubting. That's important. You don't doubt, you just believe. But why should we doubt? Because remember, this is God we're talking about. Now, if it was me doing it, I would doubt. But my faith isn't in Craig. It's in God. So why would I doubt that God can do it? All right, so it says, for let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Now, you know, I kind of think about the best way I can think about when it comes to going back and forth. Has anyone been on the kids' playground? They have a thing called a seesaw. You know, and one guy goes up, the other guy goes up, it's back and forth. Well, I think some people, they're on the seesaw of faith. One day they have faith, You know, it's interesting, and because of you know, we're trained to go to church. You know, we go to church, we get built up, we have faith. Then all of a sudden, you know, as Monday goes, we kind of go a little lower, a little lower, a little lower. By the time we hit Saturday, we're all the way down to the ground again. Thank God we get more faith, but we're back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And that's what people do. They have faith and they doubt. They have faith and doubt. And then why do people doubt? Well, it's because the devil tries to bring doubt in their mind. All right? He tries to tell Christians, well, God's not going to do it for you. Once again, the devil's a liar. But now, this is a very important verse. So this is talking about the people who doubt. Verse number, James 1:7 says, "For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So if you're in doubt, you're not going to receive anything from God. Pretty simple there, right? You know, so what's that mean? If you're in doubt, you do without. Just remember the poem. All right, if you're not in doubt, then you end with a shout. So it's pretty simple. So it's your choice. You can be in doubt and do without, or you can not be in doubt and have a shout. So you can have what you want. But you know, how many times have you ever been, you know, church or whatever, or been talking to someone, and the pastor tells you to stand on a scripture. Find a scripture and stand on it. He doesn't mean literally stand on it, especially not the new version. You know, if you have a Bible like this, you stand on it, then you're going to break your screen, then you have to fix your screen because that wouldn't be good. Because my dad will actually stand on his Bible a lot, trying to stand on the Word of God. But I think many people are standing on James 1:7. If anyone, you know, they're in doubt, they're standing on that verse, and they're not going to have it. You're not going to have it if you're in doubt. So what should you do? Don't doubt. All right? Faith, the word faith, and then Webster's New World Dictionary says this, an unquestioning belief. It's a definition that changed my life, because any time that I've ever been there, you know, in a situation, we're all human, and I begin to think, well, when is God going to do this for me? Well, you know what? When is a question. If I'm asking when, I'm not in faith. I'm asking how come this happened? I'm not in faith. How come it hadn't happened yet? When, how, where, all these kind of things, those are not faith. Faith doesn't ask questions. Faith sees the answer. Because, see, really, faith is having something before you see it anyway. You think it's already happened, even when you don't see it. It's pretty simple. Don't doubt. Well, but that's hard to not doubt. Why? Remember, our faith is in God. I mean, it's in God. In God we trust. It's really so simple. Just put your faith in God. So what am I saying? Well, just ask. Have a desire. Ask. Believe that you receive and have it. Mark 11:24, basically. But you know what? After you do that, then you have that peace. The passage of all understanding that talked about in Philippians. It's just pretty simple. You know, it's not hard. It's just simple. The hard part is us actually doing it. That's the hard part. Because many times that people, you know, they know what to do, but they just don't do it for whatever reason. Or, you know, they say, "But yeah, but it's getting tough. I mean, you know, and I got this report, I got that report. Man, I've got many bad reports. You know, when I was going through my kidney issues, I got a lot of bad reports when it started, but, you know, but every time I went to the doctor, I always got a good one. Why? Because that's what I believed. But you know what? I was prepared. If I got a bad report, I wasn't going to put my faith in that bad report. The bad report's not going to change my life, because I know that my God is working in my life. I mean, you know, because they didn't really give me. I mean, when you find out my kidney situation, basically, if you read Google, you know, being a Googleologist, I know this kind of stuff. Basically, it says you're pretty much deemed to lose your kidney. In fact, they actually said that the disease that I had, even if you got a kidney transplant, it seems, it's in majority of cases, it seems to come back in your new kidney for whatever reason. I mean, just to sound ungodly to me, so I just got rid of it. It's just that simple. And if you don't know, I had a kidney issue, and between medicine and believing God, you know, I'm the doctor won't say I'm healed, but I'm in remission. I guarantee, my kidney function is very, very good now. And that's pretty awesome. So God's good. It's not because it's just because I believe God. The reason that I'm healed is not because anything special. And I didn't do anything different than what I'm just saying right here for us all to do. It's just really simple. And that, when I try to harp on that, you know, every 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, try to get back and just teach a little simple faith message, because you know what? That's what will keep you going. That's what's going to help you whenever you're having a situation where you're just being human. You know, we all go through times when we get human and we're kind of in a little bit of depression or a little bit of worry or a little bit of doubt. You know what? But, and that's human. But like Paul says, don't doubt. Don't worry. Ask God. And then have peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this simple little message, how we can just ask God and he'll take care of our situation, take care of our circumstances, and not worry about anything. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you. We just honor your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you've done in our midst. We thank you, Father, for things that you're continuing to do. Father God, we just thank you right now. If anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, they won't leave this place without the saving knowledge of him. If you're here tonight and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus. I've never met him as my Lord and Savior. I want to tonight. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, I don't see any hands. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Father, if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, we thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you they will come in flourishing of that. We give you the praise, honor, and glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. If you are here tonight and you do need healing in your body, anyone need healing? You need prayer for healing? If you need healing, just come down here. Come on down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. Anybody else need prayer? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Remember, Jesus is the healer. I'm not the healer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father God, in the name of Jesus. That's it right there. That's it right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Just lift both hands toward heaven. Close your eyes and think about Jesus. Oh, for your grand. Well, let's. Father God, we thank you. What's her name? Father God, we thank you for Kennedy. We thank you for her life. And we thank you right now for touching her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We thank you that she's completely well. And we thank you as we pray right now that healing power of God is flowing into her life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. God's a good God. Amen.